All true believers know that God does indeed answer prayers. All true believers begin their relationship with God through a prayer of repentance, where they accept God's forgiveness and love through the sacrifice of God's perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ. Believing God answers prayer is as essential to our salvation as believing that Jesus is the Christ and that the Bible is God's inspired word. It is that important to understand. Yet one of the biggest issues that some people seem to have and continue to struggle with is the feeling that their prayers do not seem to be answered. So why is that? Theoretically, we all know that God can say yes. We all know that God can say no. And we know that God can simply be silent on the issue. We also know that sometimes God may take quite a while to answer our prayers. Is God saying no to our prayers the same as an unanswered prayer? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. So how do we come to distinguish between God saying no to a particular prayer and God simply not hearing or not receiving the prayer in the first place? Do you mean that I am saying, do you believe that you hear me saying that God may not even hear the prayer? Although God is aware of everything that goes on in His creation, and I think all of us believe that. All of us would say, yes, we believe, we know this is true, that God is aware of everything that goes on in His creation, that God knows everything that is to be known, that God even knows when a sparrow falls from the sky. So surely He knows everything about every prayer that is ever uttered or ever thought. But is that true? I have a however. A person would be mistaken to believe that God is required to hear or to receive any and all prayers. Scripture shows us situations where God does not hear. See, that's not what we think. That's not the way we think about prayer, and that's not what we think about God in prayer. But there are scriptures that show where there are situations where God does not hear. It shows us situations where prayers are hindered. It shows us situations when God says no. And the Bible shows us situations when God does not even receive a prayer. Yes, make no mistake about it. Sometimes God answers a prayer with a final no on the subject. At those times, a person simply needs to accept God's answer. And when God refuses to hear a particular prayer or to hear the prayers of a particular person, that is an entirely different matter. True disciples of Jesus Christ never want to be in that category. The Bible contains stories and principles that we can analyze to help us discern the differences between an unanswered or an unreceived prayer versus a prayer which God has answered with a no. So let us analyze and realize that God has answered no to some very significant biblical heroes. Because see, we would probably have thought, well, yeah, he doesn't hear the prayers of the sinners. Well, let's look at a couple stories of Bible heroes where their prayers, where God said no. For example, God answered no to Jesus Christ. I think he's a pretty significant Bible hero. And God said no. God answered no to Jesus Christ even when he asked, when Jesus asked God for a cup of suffering to pass from him. And of course, Jesus obviously was wise enough to end his prayer with, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." But God said no, because he did not take it away from him. Another example is when God told the Apostle Paul no in answer to Paul's request to remove his infirmity. Go with me. Let's read this in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will begin reading in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul understands that God was dealing with him in an extremely different way. God was pouring out, and God here I'm referring to would be Jesus Christ. He was pouring out revelation, 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 understanding, understanding, understanding upon this man. And he understood that, and he said, "Hey, lest I become, you know, bigger than my eyes than I really am, that I should be exalted above measure." Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," or three times, "that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. What I have given you is enough." I mean, if you really want to get down to everyday, I'm not saying it's exactly what the Greek or the Hebrew words would have translated as. I'm talking about the feeling of it, the sense of it, the way Paul would have taken it. "What I've given to you is enough. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He said, if God is going to continue to do these things, say, I'd rather have the infirmities and God continue to do this than to be free of the infirmities and not have these coming from God. Paul was also wise enough to understand God has purpose that transcends any temporary human inconvenience or pain or suffering. Did Paul have pain and suffering? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, he did. But he understood that. Both of these men, Jesus Christ and Paul, both of these men were God's chosen servants, obviously. Faithful to God, even to death. So one important thing for us to realize is that God does not say no just to people who are not obedient or faithful to him. You see, God is not a respecter of persons. God is not a being who always says yes to those he favors. Whether God answers a prayer with a yes or a no depends upon God's will. Now, also, make no mistake about it. Of course, God does give favor. And God does promise to hear and to receive or to answer the prayers of His righteous servants. God may say yes to His faithful servants, but then He also may say no to His faithful servants according to God's will. Now, however, God does refuse to hear, receive, or answer the prayers in certain situations or in certain circumstances. Sometimes God's answer to prayers are hindered. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter we go there, tells us this in 1 Peter, and we can have some light shed upon this very topic that prayers could be hindered. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Okay. Now this same chapter, chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, also states another reason why there are problems involved with getting an answer. Go up in chapter 3 to verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And no matter how you treat your wife, your prayers are always going to be answered. Is that what it says? No, what it says. So that there would be an understood so in our language today, and the way we'd read it today. So that your prayers be not hindered. Now that's pretty powerful. That is quite a statement. A person's prayers might be hindered because of inappropriate treatment or behavior of another person. That's what it says. Here in this context, hindered can simply mean several different things, including not even being heard or not being received. Now, there's much more on this subject in the Old Testament, as we refer to it, in the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. So let's go back there and see what it has to say about our prayers back there. For example, in the Torah, or the written law, the Old Testament as we have it is written, Jesus Christ even says it was divided into three categories. I'm putting words in His mouth, of course, but that's what it is showing us. The Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. And so we go back into written law. God tells us not to afflict widows or fatherless children. He makes it very plain in the law in showing us that there are serious consequences for anyone who mistreats people in special categories such as the widows and the fatherless. Go with me to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus 22. Let's begin reading in verse 22. Exodus 22, verse 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any wise or in any way, and they cry out at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. That's pretty powerful. Verse 24. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you. And I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Psalm 109 and verse 12. We see the same principle. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. The principle is, there are categories. If we mistreat people in these categories, and it's not just fatherless and widows, but they are obviously important to God. If we mistreat fatherless children or widows, it says, the principle continues on here in Psalm 109, verse 12, neither let there be any favor, not even favor, his fatherless children. It didn't just happen to the person who did this is killed. The curse, as it were, continues on even to his widow and his children. God is serious. Because God is not happy with such mistreatment. And God certainly is not favorable to the prayers of those who do the mistreatment. The law. I'm still going back from the law, the prophets, and the writings. And the law. The law shows God puts a curse on those who pervert the judgment of a stranger, of a fatherless, or a widow. Now, a separate word study on this can show, you know, if you want to do a study on this, and I would recommend that you may want to do this, it will show you that perverting the judgment refers to not treating them as the Torah or the book of the law commands. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 19. Cursed be he that perverts the judgment of the stranger, who does not treat the stranger in the way that it is pointed out in commands within the book of the law. The book of the law shows us these are ways of how, I'm not going through how it is. That's not my topic. I'm talking about our prayers. But there are certain ways that we are to be out of the book of the law, that we are told to treat strangers, fatherless, and widows. And if we don't treat them that way, cursed be he that perverts the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. All of the people are to agree with this. So whenever any of them mistreated the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, when the curse came upon them, they would have been aware. In the writings, the law, the prophets, and the writings, in the writings we read that the prayer of anyone who does not hear or receive and obey the law is an abomination. The prayers of the people, of anyone who does not hear or receive or obey the law, is an abomination. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers shall be an abomination. You see, God wants nothing to do with any of the sacrifices of the wicked. They also are an abomination. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is God's delight. Oh, prayer's not really that important. Really? Asking wrongfully, asking for wrong or selfish purposes is another reason people can have difficulty getting prayers answered with a yes. Remember what I told you earlier? It all hinges upon God's will. James chapter 4. Verse 2 and 3. James 4, verses 2 and 3. Verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. This would be prayer. Verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You're not doing it according to the will of God, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You ask, you pray for what you want. It's not according to God's will. I'm putting it very simple. And I know I could spend a lot of time on every one of these. These are different reasons that our prayers may be answered no or hindered, or God never hears them. Because he just simply doesn't even hear them. Another reason prayers are hindered is because of asking in doubt or with a double mind. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay, this is a very important key, not just on prayer, but it's a very important key in living the Christian life. If we come to the place that we realize that, you know, we really don't have the amount of wisdom that we really need, ask God. That's where it comes from. Ask God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. And then he tells in verse 8, the why or the way he looks at it. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So God, if you want to do this, I think you might. I think that you might want to do this. And, you know, if you could do this, or you could. Unstable, it says in all his ways. But let him, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, how would we be able to know in faith that we're asking of God, not wavering? Because we know the will of God. Matthew chapter 6 shows us God is not likely to answer the prayers of hypocrites or to answer the prayers of people seeking the attention of other people. It's moving on to another category of hindered prayers. So go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, right to the heart of it, and when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is their reward? They were seen of men. That's the reward. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your God which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. There is an attitude toward prayer. This is a situation between you and me, God. This is not something that is done out front for other people, for the show, for other people to be impressed with the way you do. We do public prayer, you know, in services. we certainly see the example of that throughout Scripture. Jesus did it. So we know that this is not of himself what it is referring to, because Jesus Christ did it in public. Other people have offered up prayers in public. Solomon, David, and there are other examples. And so we know there's more to this. It's talking about your personal prayers and where you're repenting and calling on God and various things. You know, what I might just call what I just said, our personal prayers, our private prayers. The hypocrites were praying much prayers to be seen of men. It's not a thing of much prayer. It's the attitude of doing it to be seen of men that you offer up a lot of prayer. Let's move on. Lack of forgiveness of others also causes problems with prayer. Jesus said, when we pray, believe that you will have what you ask. And he places that in the context of forgiving. Mark chapter 11. Verse 23, beginning in verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be you removed, and be you cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he asks. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Verse 25, which is really the biggie to this context that I'm doing right now. But when you stand praying, forgive. Interesting that it's put right in the context of our prayers and our prayers being received. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. It's in the context. Prayers being answered. And we know that God is going to hear us. We know that God is going to answer us. And he says, and whatsoever you ask, you know, your desire is going to give it. Based upon whether or not we have forgiven. Another point. Some prayers don't seem to be answered because we lack persistence. In other words, we faint. That's the word that's used in the scripture. In Luke 18. Verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, be persistent. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that town, and she came unto him and to the judge, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he, the judge, would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me. In other words, she's persistent. She keeps coming back and back and back. And this is the principle he's getting here. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? In other words, if the prayer, I mean, you know, it's showing the people of God, they're going to cry out to God, and it's showing day and night. In other words, being persistent. And then it says, though he bear long with them. In other words, if it's a long time in coming, God's giving the answer to it. It's still a long time coming. But the people are to be persistent. That's the principle that we're to see here. It's not a thing of, well, I've got this terrible, illness. I've just developed whatever. And I know that you're the healer, so I pray and ask you to heal me. And that's it. You think God wants that of us? Of course not. Well, I have a job. I have a need of a job. So you go in one time and you pray and say, God, I need this job to take care of my family. So please give me the job. Amen. What do you think God's going to do? Wait. Because the principle is he wants us to be long-suffering. I mean, it's not the word that I use. It's persistent, but it's still there. We're to be there and be there and be there and letting God what we know. God knows what the needs are. God's looking for something. He's developing things within us. You see, God wants to be trusted. In fact, God insists upon his being trusted. And sometimes prayers that are not readily or quickly answered are because God wants us to develop patience and persistence. It's not a thing of he doesn't want to do whatever it is we're beseeching him on. That's not probably not even the issue. It's that he is developing things within us that we will be just like he is. By denying an answer, God also gives us time to think and to rethink what we actually need and what we actually desire. I don't know if you've, over a period of time, have been asking for something in prayer, and how many times do you change this? Do you alter it? Do you revamp what it is that you're honing in on? Well, things are being developed within us when God delays the answer, and that is what is happening within us. That's what he wants. It's probably God's spirit. It's not probably. It would be God's spirit within us that is leading us to even to do that. When we are under duress, God really comes to know who we are. And we also come to see who we are in a closer, more settled way. We come to see ourselves. We also are going to come to see even more about God. And God is certainly going to see more about us. In one of Jesus' parables, he tells us the story of a Pharisee who prayed in a self-exalting way. We know the story. Jesus said at the end of this account that the publican, not the Pharisee, was justified. Now, who is the publican? Well, at that time, the publican was the tax collector. Today we would call them thieves. It was legalized stealing. That's really what it amounted to. I mean, it wasn't called that then, but that's what it was. Primarily among the publicans were Jews who had either done favors for or had bought the position from the Romans. And they were allowed by the Romans to do pretty much whatever they wanted to do with these Jews, because if the Jews were taken advantage of to the Romans, they didn't care. And so here is a Jew taking advantage of other Jews. They were probably hated by both groups. No one would have considered them as being really good people. Oh, by the way, Matthew was a publican. But apparently, God, Jesus here, paid attention to the prayer of the publican because he humbled himself. And that's what he was looking for. Let's go to it. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's the key right there. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, and said, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Because it tells us the publican is standing a long ways off. He's standing way over there. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm a good boy. It's very plain in Scripture. Over and over and over. God does not hear the prayers of those who hold on to their iniquities. Self-righteousness is an example of an iniquity. But so are all other kinds. So if we're holding on to iniquities, God does not hear the prayers of those who hold on to iniquity. I want to read, let's read several different passages. I really want to get this in there because perhaps, just maybe, some of us are holding on to iniquities. And I want us to learn the lesson, including myself. Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm holding it in my heart, I know it, but I'm not repenting of it, God will not hear me. John 9, verse 31. John 9. In verse 31. Now we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his God's will, him he hears. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Isaiah 1, verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In other words, there's still iniquity there. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before God's eyes. Cease to do evil. The implication is God is saying, I'm not going to hear your prayers. You're still holding on to iniquity. Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah 7, verses 12 and 13. Zechariah 7, verse 12. Yes, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. Because they were holding on to their iniquities, to their own sins. Jeremiah 11 and verse 14. Jeremiah 11 and verse 14. Therefore pray not you for this people, neither to lift up a cry or prayer for them. For I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. There's a time. I don't know that we can always know this. You know, when that time is. But there is a time when God says not to even cry for somebody. Because what they are doing or what they have done is so bad that God says, don't even cry over it. Don't ask on their behalf. In fact, we have a story. Two of the sons of Aaron, who were in line to be the high priest, took strange fire and put onto the altar. And that's just another story if you're not familiar with the story. But the point was, they died. God just killed them instantly. And then he tells Aaron, don't even mourn. because their iniquity is so bad. I won't even hear your prayers, Aaron, for your sons who died, because iniquities are so bad. Some are so bad that he says, don't even mourn. Don't even set aside a time of mourning. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the righteous is his delight. I got a couple more. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. Proverbs 28 verse 9. He that turns his way his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. I know we know this, but I want to state it in this context. God has all the capacities he needs to answer every need we have and every legitimate prayer we pray. God can do it. Go with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God can hear. That's not the issue. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He won't even hear the prayers. Pretty serious. I think that we can conclude from what we've seen to this point. Unanswered prayer is not necessarily the same thing as God's answering our prayers by saying no. Sometimes we just call it unanswered prayer when we do not like the answer that God has sent. God may have said no, and we refuse his answer. Oh, he just hasn't answered this prayer yet. Now, what we're saying is, God just hasn't answered my prayers yet. My way. See, we have to be in tune with what God wants. What is God's will? When we pray, we must. I know a lot of times people don't like to hear that word. But when we pray, we must always consider God's answers are based upon his priorities. Not what it is that I want or what my will is, but it's based upon God's priorities. What does God want? And brethren, we must also need to always remember that God answers the prayers of those who follow his instructions and live righteous lives. I want to give you at this time a list of some, I call them keys. Some things that as we pray that we need to keep in mind. I mean, we don't want to pray just to go through the act of it. We want to pray, and when there are things that we have needs of, we want to be able to go to God knowing that what we have a need of, we pray, we ask God, and then he's going to be taken care of. So let me give you some keys. One is, seek to please God. Sounds simple enough. Seek to please God. The next one. Fellowship with God constantly. Keep yourself in the presence of God. not just on the Sabbath or holy days, but keep yourself in fellowship with God at all times. The next one I have is ask in God's will. Now, I'm not saying that every time you pray that you would always have to use that phrase. It's an attitude. Jesus did a lot of what he did. I mean, there's no question. Jesus had the right attitude. And Jesus prayed things at times, I think, for our examples. Did Jesus have a problem with praying according to God's will? Of course not. He always prayed according to his will. So even whenever he asked, on the night that he was taken to be, when he was betrayed, and then he was crucified the next morning, he knew what was happening. He had been slain from the foundations of the world. He knew what was going to happen. He had inspired the Old Testament writers to write the details of his death. So he knew what was going to happen. So when he's praying, he knows how serious this is. And he says, if you've thought of any other way, you know, if there's any other way, take this cup from me that I don't have to do it this way. And so he adds, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Did he have to say those words? Probably not. But he would have, because that was his heart. Because he even says during his life, he says, whoa, wait a minute, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. He knew who God was and he knew who he was. Yes, he knew who he had been, but he was not that same being. And so he, meaning he was not that same being, he was now at the time when he was flesh and blood, was not God. He was human. That's the point I'm making there. And so he prayed, he asked in God's will. And the next one is, ask with persistence, having unwavering faith, and being obedient, and being patient. Another key, and I didn't even touch this one in this sermon today, but ask with thanksgiving. Ask with thanksgiving. The next key is ask from a clean heart. From a clean heart. This is probably something that I probably need to give a sermon on. The next one is pray in order to build and to keep an ongoing relationship with God. Pray in that way to keep and to build an ongoing relationship with God. I have two more. The next one is pray in order to have your needs met. Why do we have to ask him for our needs? It says, before you ask, he already knows what our needs are. And he's already going to take care. You know, we've already doing these things. We're trying to live this righteous life. We know God's going to do all of these things. Well, you know, there's a lot of ways of answering that, but I'd like to answer it with a simple question. Why would we not? As we're asking for these needs, it's also a prayer of faith, and it's also persistent, and it's also thanksgiving. We're thanking God. Here are my needs, and thank you, God, that you are the one who supplies them. We know what the needs are. He knows what the needs are, but we go to God, and we let him know that we know who he is. And then the last one, key, and I'm not saying these are all the keys there are, and I'm certainly not implying that all the points that I've given in this sermon is the end-all sermon to prayers, you know, to a sermon dealing with prayers. This is almost like the introduction in one sense. But the final key that I have here is pray for one another in order to become a giver like God. We need to be praying for one another. There have been times, this hasn't happened real recently, but there have been times when people have told me, they says, well, I just don't really know what to pray about. And I start listing out people in the congregation. I'm not telling anybody what anybody's sins are. Doesn't have to have a sin. But you pray for everybody. You pray for one another. You know, something really changes when we pray for one another. We're even told, and I didn't read this, but we're even told to pray for our enemies. Why would we not pray for one another? Well, these are some keys that I think are very, very helpful and I think very important. Let me give one final key. To our prayers being answered. Remember, even Jesus had to pray. He offered up prayers. He cried out. He supplicated. And here is the real key. Jesus was heard because he feared. He knew who God was. And he was in absolute awe and respect, to put it real simple, of who this being was that he was talking to. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, and I want to close with this. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Great awe and respect of God is probably the biggest thing to know about prayers.